We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you each day, Monday through Friday at this time, and we're going through the book of Romans. We're in chapter 5, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But Alex, there's something big going on at AFA. It's called Culture Warrior. Have you heard of that?
Yes. I have heard of that, and I'm excited to see it because that is the story, the inspiring story of an individual that God used in a great way, the late Dr. Don Wildman, the founder of AFA. It's his story, isn't it?
It really is, and we want to share the trailer with you today. If you're live streaming, you'll see it, but if you're not, you can hear it. It still means a lot either way. So we're going to do that. We got our technicians all ready, and they're ready to go.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
As we started looking for something to watch, every channel had something inappropriate on it.
There was nothing good.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
And I remember people going, "You're going to do what now, exactly?"
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Reverend Wildman says the show is too sexually suggestive.
We monitored television to see who was sponsoring the offensive shows.
It was totally covered from the networks to the advertisers.
Well, at first they wanted to ignore it, but then after a while they couldn't.
NBC said the boycott is an obvious attempt at intimidation, and we will let the people judge the fairness of this tactic.
I'd like to know what right you think you have to tell me what to watch on TV.
Send that question to the network, okay?
He used to say, "Well, let everybody think I'm dumb." Said, "That's to my advantage."
You know who sells more pornography than anybody else in America? 7-Eleven, your friendly family convenience store.
He stepped on a whole lot of toes early on, and they thought, I think, that they could just crush him.
Don told me that, "Ben, I've been sued by Penthouse and by Playboy."
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
It was going to be a blasphemous movie about the life of Jesus.
We're not talking about the specifics, we're talking about the general theme.
What you did with Brother Don as the leader, you got on and hung on as best you could.
AVA is funded in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
So it was just vile stuff that was being funded by the government.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
He was going to be faithful and lead the success up to God.
He's had an uncanny ability to look down the road and see the impact of things that are happening today.
I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm trying to be honest with you.
When you see people live out their faith, you know there's something to it.
One person can make a difference.
And Don Wildman made a big difference. And today, American Family Radio is a part of that. But it started with Brother Don. Doing something, not just talking about it, but doing something. And in Culture Warrior, you'll see the whole story. So we're looking forward to that. Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. Again, Alex, what a joy it is to be a part of this and know this. And public release online streaming, our DVD, is November the 11th of course, this year. And you can have early access if you want to become a Great Commission partner, or if you are a great commission partner by going stream.afa.net, and that way you can get it October the 28th. So we invite you to become a great commission partner and be a part of what AFA, AFR is about. I'm excited about seeing the whole thing, and it's going to be good.
Amen. Well, you know, this is a bit of a first for Exploring the Word, because we've had guests on before, but I don't think we've ever played video and audio before. And Bert, I've got to say something. Watching that footage brings back so many memories. I remember in the late 80s and in the 90s, Don Wildman there was a season where he was just always on the news. And, you know, the film footage, if you were watching and folks could see it, you saw Ted Koppel and Phil Donahue and so many of the news footage things. And I think about how courageous he was. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, he was absolutely right. You know, pornography dehumanizes people and is so detrimental, and abortion, and our nation's loss of a moral compass. But, Bert, here's the thing that I appreciate. I was watching this clip, and I encourage you folks to see Culture Warrior and the Battle for Decency. Here's the thing that I'm appreciating as I was watching these clips, and I remember I saw many of those clips when they aired, you know, 20, 25 years ago. But, Bert, he was willing to stand up for Jesus. And I guess here's my question. Now, I'm preaching it myself here, Bert. Our Lord is being blasphemed and mocked, making fun of the Last Supper at the Olympics. Christianity is just dismissed by many as irrelevant today. Don Wildman stood up for his Lord, Jesus. And it's our time now to stand up for Christ, for truth, for morality, and for the soul of our nation. This is our moment now to take our stand too, isn't it?
It really is. And along with that, we share the good news of Jesus Christ. We can walk and talk at the same time. We can walk and chew gum, all those illustrations about doing. Yes, we speak out as a prophet concerning what is immoral and what's wrong. We want to be a clarion clear in the spirit of love and the spirit of decency, but at the same time, we want these people who are away from God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are sharing that, and Exploring the Word is trying to do our very best to be on the front line of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and at the same time, tell what it means to be a follower and a nation that can be blessed if they would obey God's laws and His ways. Well, Alex, that is a good introduction to what we're talking about in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, and then into chapter 6. Let me give you a little heads up. What we've been looking at in all these verses 3, 4, and 5 has been our justification. The Jews, the Gentile, justified by faith, not by the law, not by works, not by circumcision, but by faith through grace. It is that. But chapter 6, when we get there, in about 5 verses, we'll take a turn to sanctification. In other words, okay, I've been justified. Does that mean? And it's really summarized, if you want to know, in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I love the King James Version on this, and God forbid. And most of them say certainly not, but God forbid. And we're going to get into the sanctification. That means we've been set apart as instruments of God to demonstrate to the world what it looks like to walk with Christ. So, Alex, again, chapter 5, we're finishing up what it means of justification, but we're also getting into that area of discipleship. These are exciting verses, aren't they?
Well, they really are. Do you remember how yesterday you were pointing out that the phrase much more, grace did much more abound. The love of Christ would much more abound. Well, there are going to be a couple of repeated phrases in chapter 6. And one of Bert Harper's superpowers is he recognizes repeated words, you know. But let me read some of this. This is so powerful. And folks, we love the book of Romans, and I just feel like it is such, it's a prerequisite almost for understanding the great magnitude of our salvation, really. But Paul asked the question, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? That's Galatians 3:27. If you're a believer, you're baptized into Christ. Paul says in Romans 6:3, if you're baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Bert, have you ever baptized somebody, as I had the honor of doing Sunday, and you'll say maybe, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life? Well, that's right there in Romans 6:4. Now, here's the thing why a Christian living in sin is so inappropriate. Because sin, disobedience, death, I mean, that was nailed to the cross. If you're a believer, you're walking in a new life. You don't want to walk in the, what is just not who you are anymore. The old life, that's, for a born-again believer, that's just not who you are anymore. That is past, and if you're a believer, you're on a different path, a new path, aren't you?
You really are. Let me give you a biblical illustration, and I want to just give it, and I want you to get your thoughts around it. Alex, Lazarus had died, and Jesus comes 4 days, and now Mary and Martha thinks it's 4 days late, but he's really on time. You know, God knows what he's doing with his timing, and he calls them to roll the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Lazarus comes forth. He still has his grave clothes on, okay? And then Jesus says to those around him, maybe his sisters, maybe a friend, it says, take off those grave clothes. Now, I love the way the King James says it. Loose him and let him go. That's one of my favorite phrases. And they started taking off the grave clothes. Now, I want to just tell you, according to what it says here in verse 2, how shall he who died to sin live any longer in it? Listen, Lazarus wasn't to go back to the tomb. He wasn't to put on those old grave clothes. He had been brought to life. Now, in us, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Sin had done its work in us. But by grace, through faith, we were delivered into newness of life. You've already read that before. Newness of life in the likeness of Christ. We no longer live in the tombs, death. We no longer have the grave clothes on. Why would we want to live in that? That's the whole idea. Those of us who have been born again, we've been saved. We need to come out of death into life, out of darkness into light. And so here is Lazarus that shows what it means to be brought to life in Christ Jesus. Alex, I think Lazarus is a living illustration, and I use that word on purpose, living illustration of what it means to be brought back to life and living in that life that Christ Jesus has given us.
Amen. Amen. I mean, you could put a lot of analogies in there. Like, you know, if a player got drafted by the major leagues, you know, you change jerseys. You don't wear that old uniform, you know. But let me continue on in Romans chapter 6 here, walking in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow. Well, when we come back after the break, we'll pick up on that. Plus your calls. Hey, here's the number, folks. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. With more Exploring the Word.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. You know, Bert, that song, The Heart of Worship, that is a great song. I think it became popular, if I remember back, probably 25 years ago when I was
in the 90s. Yeah, it was in the 90s, and they were having what you call the worship wars, you know, and this song just called us back. You may have different preferences, a hymn, a chorus, or whatever, but get back to the heart of worship. It's all about Jesus, and sing about him. And let Jesus be seen in our attitudes as well.
Amen.
And so, Alex, I love that song as well.
You know, I want to get to Romans 6, 4, 5, 6, 7. But here's one of the beautiful things about our powerful God. I mean, God is omnipotent. He has all the power. He's omniscient. That means he has all the wisdom. Okay, what Satan means for evil, God invariably will turn it into something good. What could be our worst defeat, if we allow, God will turn it into a great blessing. Now, in Romans 6, 5, it says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, Bert, do you remember Jesus talked about this in John 12? He said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't produce a crop. But if it does, it produces a crop. And what translation? I've got the KJV here. In verse 5, it says planted. What word do you have there?
It is united.
United.
Yeah,
exactly.
United. And it is exactly the right. Now, I want to do one point. Now, I'm just interrupting a second. Go back. Keep your mind. Go back to verse 3 and notice what it says. Do you not know? Here's what Paul is saying. You need to know these things. Alex, that's so important. Sometimes we think we know, but here he is knowing. So what he's given us is things to know that you just said, that we're united together in his likeness of his death. That's powerful.
Amen.
Brother. Go ahead.
United together. Here's the thing. I've had guys ask me sometimes, they'll say, you know, well, if I become a Christian, what do I have to give up? I said, you know, here's the only thing you're going to miss by being a Christian. Hell,
amen.
Death and judgment. The way for all those things you want, joy, peace, fulfillment, security, surrender to Jesus. The way to life is death. The way up is down. Everything you want for yourself, you're going to find it if you will relinquish yourself and turn your life and your eternity over to Jesus. And not to be graphic here, but you know, I think about this. For the Christian, even a funeral is victorious. planted in the ground, you know, and I'm not trying to be callous here, but let me say this. Life, eternity, resurrection, immortality, that's what you get when you put your life and soul in the hands of the Savior. The old is dead. And here's the thing about this fallen world. You're not going to find salvation any other way but through Jesus. You'll never be happy except in Jesus. And it's so beautiful because I know the devil, he thinks, okay, sin, guilt, condemnation, hell, lostness. I've got the whole human race in checkmate. No, there is an answer, and that answer is the Savior.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, looking at verse 6, I referred back to verse 3, and I'm not going backward, but I'm connecting. Knowing that he said, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, and again, it's talking about the two baptisms here. It is talking about the Holy Spirit being baptized by the Holy Spirit of God when he comes into our life. If you need a good illustration of that, you'll find that in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38, Alex, where Cornelius was, they received the Holy Spirit and baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized by water. And so it is a living illustration. But notice what it says in verse 3, know that as many of us, and now when you look past that and you see what it says in verse 6, knowing this, he is driving this home to these Romans that these things you need to know, these things you need to count on. We're going to get to that in a moment where it says reckon. It means count on, give to your account. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, verse 6, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said, you can clean up the flesh, you can educate the flesh, you can glorify the flesh, but it's still flesh. And the only way to escape that penalty is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You remain slaves to yourself. But coming out of that, you've been bought with a price, and we've been set free. This is similar to redemption. Although the word is not used, Alex, we've been paid for, and then we were set free to be who God created us to be, a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're no longer slaves to sin. Listen, the power of sin does not have to reign in our lives. It really does. The penalty of sin's been taken care of. We will not go to hell. But we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit so that sin does not reign in our mortal bodies. There should not be room. If you're going back to that, you're going back to the tombs. You're going back to the grave clothes. No, Christ has brought you out so you can be in Christ and live that way. I think Paul does an excellent job of, man, this is really important things about being set apart as believers to follow Christ, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, what a great verse. Verses 8 and 9. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And the word there is rule and or authority. Isn't that something? Because this world, we often say it's a fallen world. And there is, because of Genesis 3 and the sin, there's this thing called entropy. I mean, look all around us. The world is just wearing out. It's running down. People are aging. People die. Besides just physical aging, there's sin and disease and sickness. And it's a world, as much as the world is beautiful, life is great. But, Bert, this world, everywhere you go, doesn't matter where you are on planet Earth, this world is tainted by brokenness and death. Now, here's the answer, that death has no dominion over Jesus. You want to beat this fallen world? There's only one way. It's through the one who is the Lord of life. Romans 6, 9, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, and in fact, death has no authority, rule or dominion over Jesus whatsoever. So, of course, we want to be in Christ, and in Christ we have life.
We do. And verse 10 caps this off, and then he has a verse 11 that kind of is different. But again, I know I'm beating a dead horse to death, but notice what he says in verse 3. Know this. He says it again in verse 6, knowing this. And then verse 9, knowing that Christ. Make sure you know who Christ is, then know him in a personal way, and then know him as he travels with you to on this pilgrimage of life, and he sets you apart. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, one time. Makes me think of Hebrews, you know what I mean, when he died one time.
Amen.
But the life that he lives to God. This Amen. Is what Jesus has done. And Alex, he invites us to join him. This is the whole thing. And it introduces, I think, verse 11, that's kind of stands alone by itself right in here in the middle of this chapter. But notice the words at verse 11 starts with likewise, and then you go to verse 12, therefore. Okay, so here it is, likewise. Likewise, you. Now, he's talked about what Jesus has done, the death he died, the life he lives. Likewise, you Romans, you who are alive today in 2024 and following Christ, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That reckoning has been put on our account. It's the word imputed. It's used, using that word, it's translated different places, a little bit different, but it's used 19 times in the whole book of Romans. Likewise, you reckon yourselves. Now, it's not acting like, it's based upon a fact. In other words, if you write a check and you know you've got $200 in the bank and you sign your name to that check, you know it's there. This reckoning is the same principle. Put it on my account. I know this money is there. He says, reckon yourselves is dead. You died, crucified with Christ. Now live in Christ. Don't live in the tombs and put on the grave clothes. Live in newness of life. That reckoning Amen. Right there at verse 11, it kind of joins what we're to know. And then when it comes to verse 12, it's yielding to him, giving him permission, and us operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, Alex.
Amen. Praise God. You know, in verse 6, it says that if we're alive in Christ, we're no longer going to serve sin. Now, the implication is that sin is the master over you. Now, it says this, you know, I mentioned the word dominion in verse 9, that death has no dominion over Jesus. Now, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, here's the thing, Bert, I've met a lot of people, and they say, well, if there is a heaven, I'm going to try to go to heaven because I've kept the Ten Commandments. Well, none of us have. We're all sinners. But the law of God, I mean, if sin has dominion over us, we're lost. If the law has dominion over us, we're going to try to be good, but we can't earn righteousness. See, in Jesus, you come under Christ's dominion, salvation, grace, power, a sound mind, assurance, stability, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1 said. And here's my point, Bert. Everybody is under some dominion. Now, if you're under the dominion of sin, death, and the law, oh my goodness, that's hopelessness. And Christ, Jesus is inviting you to come under his umbrella, under the dominion, which is really freedom. I mean, to be the servant of Christ is freedom and liberty. To be the servant of sin is bondage and death. And Paul is using a lot of legal terminology here, isn't he, Bert? But this is what it is. And I hate to use this word. We use the word covenant a lot. But I'm going to put it in a word that might be a little bit more familiar. It's the word contract. You know, in this world, there are a lot of contracts. But do you know, folks, salvation, in a way, is a contract. And you say, well, I'm not sure I understand that. Here's my point. Almighty God, who cannot lie, God, who is truth, is making some promises to you. And this guarantee, this promise, if you will, this contract, is as dependable as God and His Word. Jesus says, turn to me, believe in me, and I promise you are forgiven. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are secure in my care. Bert, covenant, it really does imply a contract, and my goodness, what a wonderful promise and guarantee it is.
It really is. Now, Alex, verse 14 is powerful, but notice you've done the word dominion, but notice the last, under grace. And you said it well, you're under something. What are you under? Are you under the law? Are you under your freedom that you think you have, but in reality you're a slave to sin? But he says you're under grace, not under law. And that sets apart then, which brings us to verse 15. And he does this again. You remember he did this back in verse 1. What shall we say then? And now in verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He uses that same term, certainly not, or God forbid. Listen, we've been set free to be who God wants us to be in Christ Jesus. And he says, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves or present yourselves slaves to obey, you're that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Alex, when I read that, I couldn't help but think about Moses when he came out and he gave the option to the Israelites, as the Hebrews, as they were following. He says, I give you life or death. Which one will you choose? That is still true today. The grace of God has appeared to all men. He desires everyone to come to know Him as Savior, and we're to share that good news and choose Christ. Go with Him. You don't choose the law. There's no hope. Don't choose science. There's no hope. Government, no. Only in Christ. So Paul is making, as you said, a legal document saying, follow Christ. Let Him be Lord, and His righteousness will cover you as you're under His dominion. Well, Alex, Amen. You want to take phone calls in the last segment?
Let's do. Folks, call in now with a Bible question. We'll get right to you. The number, 888-589-8840. When we come back after this brief break, we'll get right to your calls and questions on Exploring the Word.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
God raises up leaders who follow His direction and serve Him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise His standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie. culturewarrior.movie.
But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Every 4 years prior to the presidential elections, we are inundated with screeds decrying the United States Constitution. Like the New York Times' recent piece saying, "Our founding legal document is dangerous." The contempt usually boils down to some combination of it being too hard to amend and power too diffused. When you understand the fallen nature of man, as our founders did, that's kind of the point. Make no mistake about it. These complaints about the Constitution are nothing more than a thinly veiled pretext for totalitarian preference. They hate our Constitution because they hate individual liberty.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
American Family Radio.
Word of God, speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak.
Amen. I just couldn't wait to get to the Word of God, speak. It is the Word of God. It is sanctified in heaven. And it's alive. It's the sword of the Spirit. That's why we, on Exploring the Word, we go to the Word of God. And so that's what we want you to do as well. We hope we encourage you enough to have that time with the Lord, you and Him, in His Word, praying, following Him, and seeking Him. I want to tell you, it is well worth it, a well of wisdom and knowledge in the Word of God. Well, Alex, you ready to take phone calls?
I am ready. And here's that number again, by the way, folks. It's 888-589-8840. We always love to hear from each and every one of you. And there's no question that's irrelevant. If you've got a Bible question, we'd love to hear it, and we'll do our best to give you a good answer.
So with that in mind, let's go to Texas and talk to Dale. Dale, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I had a question or like a comment that I heard made today just by Ralph Yankee Arnold, kind of to do with what y'all were talking about, but I came in late. It says, salvation is a decision to believe or trust in Jesus for eternal life. It's not a commitment to serve. Serving comes after we're born again. And to get the two areas together or put them together, it just causes confusion, especially if we were trying to explain to a lost person how to be saved.
Dale, let me just share this with you. God has something in mind for us, and it is salvation. And then for us to complete, and that can stand alone. You don't have to add to it. And what they did kind of added to it and separated it, Alex. But according to the passage we said today, the idea of servanthood and slavery comes in. The word dominion mentioned that. You know, we're under the dominion of the law, or a dominion of sin. But when we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, as Dale has said, we're under grace, a new dominion.
Yeah.
And what does that lead us to? Notice what it says? We walk in newness of life. And this walk will always be a servanthood, won't it?
It will. Bert, I've heard people say, you know, talking about being committed to Christ is not ideal language, because it implies that it's in our own strength or something like that. And I get it. Look, God does the saving. Redemption is of the Lord. You know, we put our faith in Christ, but he saves us. We do not save ourselves. But I think I know where the word comes from, because like Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, commit your way to the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and he will act. 1 Kings 8, 61, God told Israel, may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord God to live by his decrees and his commands. So when we talk about being committed to Christ, we should be, but it doesn't imply that it's in and of our own strength, not at all. It's by his power, isn't it?
It really is. And we surrender first. We do surrender. We give up on ourselves. Hey, repentance has the idea of surrender. I give up on myself and turn to God, and then I give myself. Committing has the idea of giving yourself to. I give myself to God. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my bodies. And I want to surrender to that. I want to commit myself to that, to follow him. Some of the words, let me just say one statement. I know we need to move on. But our words will never completely convey what it is to follow Christ. Paul, when he was caught up into the third heaven, he said, I saw things and I saw it inexpressible, indescribable. I believe that about our walk with Christ, Alex. We can try it and we can use as best vocabulary we can, but it's better than. As we've been studying, Amen. Let's go with it. It's much more. So, Dale, thank you for that. Let's go to Matthew in Ohio. Matthew, thank you for calling.
Hi, Bert and Alex. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, can Christians invest money in mutual funds, or what are your thoughts with some of them? I know some of the big companies are woke and maybe support abortion. So I know there's something, the Timothy Fund, but is that the only option? Or just how do you guys think that through?
Matthew, thank you. When you ask a question like this, I miss Dan Celia, Alex.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
He was my financial aid. When he'd come to Tupelo, I'd get him aside and we'd say, hey, Dan, what do you think about that? He did the research to find out where a lot of them are. It is a difficult task, and today it's like an octopus. One company has so many tentacles in so many areas that it's hard to completely avoid it. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, you know, Dan Celia, rest his soul, he was a great man. He helped Angie and me in investments and making God-honoring investments. He passed away several years ago. I've got a friend named Art Alley that I've met through National Religious Broadcasters, and he operates a ministry called the Timothy Plan, and it's mutual funds that are completely Christian-friendly. And we don't want to put God's money, because I'm not going to say it's our money. None of us have anything. It all belongs to the Lord. But we don't want to unknowingly be funding things that are ungodly. But, Bert, help me out here. After Dan Celia passed, I know there is on AFR, there is a Christian financial program still, isn't there?
It is. It's called Faith and Finance with Rob West. And yes. He does it as well. Dan's was, his was different than that, than Rob. He gives financial advice, and he can help in that area as well. And so, listen, Matthew, you're right, but I am telling you, this world that we live in, it is so connected that it's hard. Like, we're on Facebook, but I have problems with Facebook because has corruptness to it. But what do? You pull out of it. And so it is a hard task, Matthew, but I think what you're saying, to be a conscientious follower of Christ, we need to look at especially some of the big issues like abortion. We really do. And transgender and the woke agenda. So, Matthew, thank you. Rob West, it comes on now Central Amen. Time. It's 9 o'clock Central Time every morning. And Faith Finance, it's a great, great program. Thank you so much. Let's go up into Tennessee and talk to Chris. Chris, thank you for calling.
Hey, Alex. I have been a
Chris, I don't know. Yeah, we've lost you some way. Stay on, and I'm. Can you hold? Put him on hold, Brent. Put Chris on hold, yeah. If you could.
And he was breaking up.
Yeah,
a
you're breaking
bit.
Up. We'll try. If you may be in a better place, is he on hold now? Okay, let's go to. Well, we didn't. He's gone. Let's go to Jose in Virginia. Jose, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, brothers, for such a wonderful program that you have. My question is on the real significance or what it means when Jesus told Peter that he will give him the keys to heaven. What exactly that means?
Okay. What does keys do, Alex?
They can open doors. They can open locks, can't they?
They really can. What opens heaven to us?
Well, Jesus Christ, he's the key. You know, remember Peter very boldly said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Really, that gospel, the rock is Jesus. The confession is Jesus as Lord. That's the key to heaven, isn't it?
It really is, and we appreciate that so much. Okay, I think I can get Chris on again. Chris, try it again. We want to understand you, brother. Go right ahead.
Hey, Alex and Bart, how y'all doing today, man?
Doing good. Well. Doing well.
My question is, on this Psalm 50, 16 and 17, let me ask you, am I reading this right? Because it says... you know, in modern terms, it would say that you know, you saying that you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, but yet you throw my commandments behind you. My question is, what commandments do we keep? Because I want to be, and my son, I want them to be one of those priests over in Isaiah 66:23 when it comes into the new kingdom. I want him to be one of those preachers.
Amen. Hey, Chris, Jesus summarized it in two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And the second one is such as this, love your neighbor as yourself. He said all the law was in those two. Now, you go back to the Ten Commandments and some others, that morality. Alex, all but the one concerning the Sabbath day is repeated some way in the New Testament about murder, about adultery. It's the moral law, still stands, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, the beautiful thing about being in Jesus, and, you know, we've talked about in Romans 4, the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness is the complete, perfect fulfillment of God's holy law. And the beautiful thing is, in Christ, we will keep all the commandments. You said, but wait a minute, I've broken the commandments. Well, yes, but we get Christ's righteousness attributed to us. Now, I know it takes kind of a, I think the Holy Spirit has to help us understand this, but in Hebrews 4:15, in Christ, we are perpetually keeping the Sabbath. Now, should we take a day off a week, one day out of seven? Of course, I believe that. But I want to say this. The early Christians, some scholars believe that it was within 2 to 4 weeks after the cross, Christians were worshiping on Sunday morning. Why? That was Resurrection Day. Bert, every now and then people say, well, Sunday morning is the Sabbath. No, that's Resurrection Day. The Sabbath is still Saturday, but understand this. You don't have to keep it as a ritual because in Christ you have fulfilled the law. In Christ you are perpetually in that Sabbath rest. I know it's kind of a lot to get our mind around, isn't it?
It really is. But, let me give you this verse too, Alex. Stay where you are because this is a great question. Jeremiah 31:33. I'm reading through Jeremiah right now. For this is the covenant, we talked about covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I'll write it on their hearts. Listen, this relationship we have with Jesus Christ changes everything. That's why he could say those two commandments, love the Lord God and it puts a right relationship with the others. Alex, it is written in our hearts. It's not just on tablets of stone. It becomes reality to us, doesn't it?
Amen. Amen. You know, I wanted to say one more thing. You know, in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, where Jesus said he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. And I wanted to finish this thought, but, you know, keys open things up. And the keys of heaven, that's Jesus, your relationship with him. But I want to say this. Peter preached the inaugural sermon at Pentecost. The church age began, and in a way, I think about it, and it's all God, it's all Jesus, but Peter was the human instrument. When he preached there, the Pentecost sermon, and we're still in that church age now, well, the door was opened, wasn't it?
They swung open wide. Amen. He's alive. We talked about that yesterday. And hallelujah, the middle wall of partition is torn into. We have direct access to God, and praise God. Amen. That's what I'm saying. We have much more than you could ever dream or ask for in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy sailing. Doesn't mean it's smooth roads. But it does mean you have a friend that stays with you through thick or thin. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Mark. Mark, thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you, Bert, Alex. Quick question, I'll try to be fast. Okay, so we're on the other side of the cross. Okay, my question is this. Okay, in the Gospels, the disciples, Jesus has sent them out with the good news. What exactly is the good news he sent them out with? Because they hadn't seen the resurrection.
Okay. Hey, it's coming. Listen, hey, that I don't mean to be flippant, Mark, but that's it. Hey, hallelujah. Things are about to change. He is here. You remember when John the Baptist wanted to know, was he the one? And Jesus gave him about the healing, the blind, and the good news is preached to the poor. Alex, hallelujah. They did have something to preach about, didn't they?
Well, in Matthew 3 and 4 and Mark chapter 1 says that Jesus began to preach, and I'm sure the disciples reiterated, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I know that the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world. But, hey, the kingdom is at hand. That was good news. They looked to the Messiah that was going to come. And in fact, here he is. Jesus is here. So they had good news to preach, didn't they?
Amen. And we've got the good news to preach today. We pray that you're sharing your faith with others. We sign off this. It just happened a few years ago. They was looking for a closing. And one day I said, you know, tell someone about exploring the word, but make sure you tell them about Jesus. And the producer at that time says, Bert, that's the closing you need. Alex, amen. It's a good closing. We do need to tell people about Jesus, don't we?
Folks, thanks for listening. Tell somebody about exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.